Hi, my name is Jörg and I'm an alcoholic. I'm glad that you didn't say what a shame or something like that, because that's what I expected the first time I said I'm Jörg, I'm an alcoholic. Even in AA, when I said that the first time, I kind of thought they're going to say, wow, shame on you, because I was ashamed of being an alcoholic. I'm not anymore. I'm a grateful alcoholic in the meantime. I love AA, and I also love to listen to speaker tapes and to great speakers, and it was always a dream of me to have spoken at a convention, but not to speak at a convention. No, actually, I did not apply for this job at all. I was in Alicante 8 months ago on my first convention, and there was a little group, a gay group, and I was asked to speak there, and I did that. And afterwards, one of the committees from here came up to me and said, oh, that was nice, would you like to speak in Ostende? And of course I said, yes, I would love to do that. And I thought it would be also a little 20 people, you know, LGBT, nice and cozy. And it was only later that I found out that it would be a little bit bigger than that. But you know, my first reaction, honestly, I was thrilled, because being asked to speak in a small meeting or in a bigger meeting really shows me that I'm part of it. And I'm not really part of a lot of things. I don't really have a lot of friends in the world out there. And AA has become the place where I find friends. And conventions are now actually one of my way to spend long weekends. So I look up conventions and add a day or two and see beautiful places like Ostende or Alicante. And I love it. I was in Barcelona too last summer. And I look very forward to Detroit in summer. Who of you is coming to Detroit? Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. Don't worry, I'm not going to speak there for sure. So when I was asked 8 months ago, you can imagine my second reaction after the joy was fear. And I had 8 months to worry. And I did use that time. I really developed a lot of worries and anxieties. And my sobriety date is actually the 16th of December 2015. So compared to most of you, I'm still a baby. And so my first reaction was, why me? You know, there's so many people that I listen to in meetings that I think they should be talking. But when I said that to the person who asked me, they said, that's exactly what we are looking for. We are looking for somebody who is not too long in the program, who can bring his point of view. And so I used that time to think about this topic. Easy does it, but do it. And also actually talked with my sponsor about it. It was a great occasion to work on my fears and my anxiety. Also to ask myself, why am I so afraid of this? Because this is not a customer event, you know, where I have to gain customers and ask for your business card afterwards. And I don't have to win tonight. I'm among friends, you know. And so it's really annoying that I'm so fearful in advance of that. And it's actually puzzling me a little bit. So, but it has to do with my history, and so I'll start a little bit further back than today. When I was a child, I don't think my parents were alcoholics. They maybe behaved like them, and they were a bit strange maybe, but they were loving, and I'm sure they really did their best, and I loved them too. The only thing was I had two older brothers. And they were annoying. And in a sense that they did everything wrong that older brothers can do wrong, which led to police in the house in early stage when I was like five. My oldest brother is 5 years older, so he already did stuff that evoked problems. And then when they were older, stuff happened like accidents with motorcycles. So of course, me being the youngest, I was forbidden to have a motorcycle. And you know, one thing I still don't understand, I also see that in today's society a lot, the one who did the mistake was still allowed to drive his motorcycle afterwards, but I wasn't ever allowed to drive a motorcycle. This happens also in other contexts, and I don't quite understand that, but I don't have to understand everything. So when I was 14, which is the age where we are allowed to drive mopeds in Switzerland, I was not allowed to have one. And the easy way to do that was just not to finance it. My father just didn't give me money. So I decided to work, you know, like get really cheap old ones and work on them and build them up so I can use them again. And unfortunately, one of these bikes didn't really work very well, so I drove it down the hill. It was the first time I ever drove a bike down the hill, and of course that bike was not in a very good shape, and I had no license at all, and a police car came. That very first ever I did something that was not absolutely correct, I was caught. And for me that was a disaster, an absolute disaster, because what I heard from my mother the last 10 years before was, Jörg, you won't do that to me, what your brothers do to me. You will be a nice guy, won't you? You will be lovable, won't you? You won't bring shame to me, will you? And so on, you know, that's what I heard all the time. And so the first thing I thought, my mother is going to be very sad and very angry. And I don't know where I had that from, but already I kind of knew alcohol will help. So I went home and took a Martini Bianco bottle, and I really don't know where I had that from, but whenever I thought of the police, I took a sip. Because I knew I could forget like that, and I wanted to forget. And before, I hadn't really drunk, you know, and I think I pretty much finished that bottle, and I was pissed drunk. And then my mother called for dinner. And then I noticed that our house all of a sudden was built like this, you know, and I really had a hard time getting up to dinner. And I'm astonished that I still remember today that when I sat on the table, my hand fell into the soup. And I left it there. And I... And I still remember doing that on purpose. I still remember, I tell you, I had a lot of blackouts later, but that moment I still remember, I thought, I'm going to show you guys, I'm going to leave that hand in the soup. And I was really drunk, and everybody at the table noticed, my parents, my two brothers, and nobody did anything. You know, that's how we dealt with problems at home. No, just ignore it. Just ignore it. And so I guess after about felt 5 minutes, my brother took my hand out of the soup, and nobody ever said anything. You know, like it wasn't really a problem. So I thought, okay, drinking seems to be okay as a problem solver. Yeah, and it. As you know, doesn't really solve problems. And so I went on in my life, being the youngest and having to be lovable. I was an early adapter. Like, I adapted to my parents' wishes before they had even articulated them. I kind of knew what they wanted from me. I could read it in the eyes of my mother. And if I only misbehaved a little bit, I got that look. And that was already enough, you know. My two brothers were super wild, but with me, she educated with looks, and it worked, you know, like in the circus, an animal being educated. And I don't blame her for that, because I think she was just completely overwhelmed with my two older brothers. And so she was happy that I wasn't like that. And I was happy too at the time. I really loved them. And also I was, for the longest time, the one that looked after them, while my brothers, obviously, being wild, they moved out as soon as they could. I went to school longer than they did. I went to a gymnasium, as we call it in Switzerland. So I had to still stay at home. And I still was at home with 20. And I remember when it was about where to go for studying, I subconsciously or consciously decided that I'm not going to study in Zurich, where we live, but I'm going to study far away, which is St. Gallen, for those who know Switzerland, which is about an hour away. And but that hour away allowed me not to have to live at home anymore. I had my own apartment. And that, of course, opened the possibilities to really use alcohol as a relaxant, because I only realized later when I went home on weekends, or even sometimes today, the moment I come in that house, I tighten up again. I grew up very tightened up, in a lot of tension. There was always a lot of tension in that house, and alcohol helped me to loosen up. And it was my best solution against tension. Unfortunately, I still have those tensions today, to a big part. I don't have alcohol anymore, but fortunately I have AA. And AA helps me with its tools a lot to work on these tensions. When I actually finished the studying, and I was kind of a functioning alcoholic. I didn't most of the time drink during the day, and so I normally caught up in the evening and drank in the evenings, and that worked quite a long time. I'm still astonished how long that worked. And I think one reason was that in quite early times I started doing yoga in the morning, and when I was drinking a lot, I think somebody in the morning I kept doing that yoga, so a certain discipline that I had from at home helped me to at least survive. But I do remember when I was still drinking in the morning doing yoga, it was just hell. I needed about 3 t-shirts because I was just sweating wet, but I think that sweating at least got me going. But it was just terrible. It worked for about 15 years. It worked kind of okay. And then the last 10 years, they were hell. And it ended, or it was, as you probably all know, it was that kind of suffering in the morning or already at night. I woke up normally at 2 o'clock, heartbeat like hell, sweating, bad conscious. And I promised myself for about 10 years times 365 days, so about 3,000 times, I promised myself, tomorrow I won't drink. And next evening around 6 o'clock, like a program, switch was on, and so I promised myself only 2 drinks. Didn't work either. So both those promises I kept breaking for years and years and years, and that really bothered me, because otherwise I was rather disciplined. I'm actually self-employed. I have my own business. So that worked. That worked out. So I was really puzzled. Why the hell can't I stop drinking? And it was only in AA that I found out that willpower doesn't help, that it might even make things worse, because in my case, trying hard not to drink gave me even more tension. And what was my solution against tension? Alcohol. So it was a devil's circle getting worse and worse. You can imagine that being gay in a house like I grew up was not very easy, and because it didn't exist. And it took me a while. It took me a while to find it out myself, you know, and to admit to myself, to accept it first of all, or to be aware of it, that it exists, and then to accept it myself. And loving my parents, I thought they need to know first. So I told them when I was about 25, hoping, not hoping that they would look for a boyfriend for me, but at least that they would support me. And that was kind of the big break in our relationship, because they did not, what's the right word, they did not support it. You know, like my father got up and walked away and started working in the kitchen, something which he never did normally. And my mother said, but have you tried with women? I'm sure the right one will come along. But again, you know, that's all she knew. It's that generation. It's actually kind of sweet. But it didn't help me at the time. And I was really desperate, and of course that enforced even the drinking and didn't really help. But what it helped is finding a partner. Because being coming out of a household where I had to be the lovable one and the adapted one, being gay was not really the role model, and alcohol helped. And at that time, today it's different, but at that time the mating ritual was taking place in bars with alcohol. And so I actually, with 29, after finishing studying, I found my first partner. I did everything very in order, you know. First I finished gymnasium, then I studied. And when that was finished, I said, okay, now I want to really live and find a partner. And I found a partner. Unfortunately, he was, I know now, an alcoholic. He smoked and he took mild drugs. And as it is, when you love somebody and you're around somebody, you start copying them. And it's not that I didn't drink before, but then I really... I must admit, I enjoyed it. You know, like I worked during the day, I worked hard, and we played hard in the evening. And it was devastating for my health. Him being a hairdresser, he could sleep in the morning, and he had a lot of days off. But me being self-employed, I really suffered and, how do you say, self-exploited myself over years and years and years. And again, I really don't know how I did that. When I met my first partner, he just came out of a cancer treatment and was doing better again. We were together for 6 years and had a few fights. And one of the fights actually was, when I think back, very similar to our motto here, is that he thought, since he had cancer, he doesn't have to care about himself, that it's okay to drink and to drug and so on. And at the time, without knowing AA, I always told him, no, you can. It's never too late to change your life. You can always do something about that. I will support you. And he didn't want to do that. And it came to a moment where he started again abusing drugs and alcohol. And him saying, don't do that. And he said, I have the right to do that. And then I freaked out and said, you're just super stupid. You don't have the right to destroy yourself. He ran out of the house, and next day he died. Out of nothing. It probably was the medication. We never found out. And I was of course completely devastated, leaving him in a fight, my first partner I ever had. And again, alcohol helped me to, at the time I didn't know anything else, so I just kept drinking a lot. But I wanted to stop. I really wanted to stop, because I saw also in my partner at the time how terrible it is. So actually, maybe you don't know that in the end, Madonna brought me to AA. But it's not Madonna up there, it's the pop star. Because 4 years ago, and a few days before I got into AA, she gave a concert in Zurich. And my partner, my new partner, who is Canadian, but now we live together, and we are married, and we just had 20 years together, so I'm very happily... thank you. Very, very happily married. So we went to the Madonna concert, and I was not in AA yet. And so to be quite upfront, you have to be there early. So we were there early. And people started to come, and I, of course, had drunk before already, but then I noticed I'm thirsty. So I had to walk back through the crowds, and I'm not a crowd person at all, to get two beers. And on the way, fighting myself to the stage again, of course, I drank one, and I started a little bit with my partner's beer. And he didn't really drink, or he doesn't really drink. He's one of those strange people who doesn't even finish a beer when he starts it. So I helped him. And, you know, maybe you know that Madonna is always fashionably late. So I repeated that thing 5 times. Back through the crowds. And, you know, people don't like that. And it's very dense. But I did it for the beer, you know. I had to get that beer. And it was that evening where I realized I'm completely insane, I'm completely dependent, I hate it, and I need to change that. And I had tried many things before, similar to what we heard before. I went to psychologists. They helped me a lot with other topics, but not with alcohol. So I increased it a little bit and went to a psychiatrist. And same thing. And I took a coach. So I did all the things that I think I thought could help. But you know, nobody ever recommended AA in Switzerland. It's really a tragedy in Switzerland. Like, I, in the meantime, have the hypothesis, as was mentioned before, that AA works so well that therapists in Switzerland, at least, do not recommend AA. Because it's so bad for business, you know. They know that these people don't come back. The alcoholics, you know. I must say, I would like to say again, I think it's super worthy to take therapy, but concerning alcoholism, AA works better. Two of my therapists always tried to convince me that it's not too bad to drink, that they drink too. That was their argument. And that's, by the way, now also one of the reasons why, or the reason why one of my service positions in Zurich is in the information team. I go to schools, I go to police forces, and to prisons. AA has not managed to build up meetings in prisons in Switzerland over the last 40 years. AA has been trying. We do not get into prisons. Again, for several reasons, but we managed to at least do information meetings. So we have in the team developed a quiz about AA so that we don't just go and talk, so we can involve the prisoners. So we developed a quiz to play with the prisoners and involve them, and that's really fun and interesting. And some of them also then come to the meetings with the hope that when they are released, that they don't fall back right into their old behavior. So when I think back, that was really shocking that nobody ever recommended me AA. It was Google who helped me finding it. And so 3 days after the Madonna concert, I went to an AA meeting. And in retrospect, that was my first spiritual experience. Being in AA, at the time I didn't realize that, but being in AA, I always heard step 12, you know, as a result of these steps, we have a spiritual awakening. And I always thought, when is that going to happen? And how is it going to be? Is it going to be a flash? Or what is it going to be, you know? And I kind of waited. And until I shared in a meeting that when I went to that first AA meeting, and before, the only thing I could think about the whole day was the next drink. That spell was lifted from me in that meeting. And I still don't know how, but it happened 4 years ago, never had to drink again, and I did not know yet the steps. I did not have yet the sponsor. I did not have yet sponsees. I did no tools, and easy does it was not my motto at all. But somehow it was taken off me, and I can only explain it as a spiritual experience that I had thanks to that group. and you probably know the abbreviation for God, a group of drunks. And they really, this group of drunks, they took the spell off me, and I'm ever so thankful for that. I remember that evening, it was one of those meetings where people eat constantly. They had cakes, and you know, it was constantly was somebody getting up and getting a cake, and they were laughing, and even the 80-year-old looked good, you know? Like, I was amazed. I was really amazed. They were laughing, and they were fit in their head, and they were telling stories. And I thought, wow, this is fantastic. I didn't really believe it. Because I went to AA, and I thought I would get some tips how I could drink without getting drunk, you know? But how I could stop after the third drink. I thought they would have these secret tips. That's why they're anonymous. But it didn't turn out to be like that. So AA, I was actually surprised that it's a spiritual program, but I'm extremely happy about it. Of course, being sober and staying sober is still goal number one, but I think it doesn't work just by white knuckle and trying to stay sober. We have to work on ourselves. And I'm actually extremely happy that the Big Book even provides us with prayers. What a service. You know, it's really fantastic. Like, I love the step 3 prayer. It has become my morning getting up ritual and my going to sleep ritual. And I still sometimes suffer from lying awake at 2 in the morning. And then first thing when I wake up, well, sometimes first thing my head starts, of course. But then I try to trick it with a prayer, and it's the step 3 prayer. And it has become such a beautiful routine that it calms me down and earths me just to speak these prayers. And also I've been thinking a lot about what is my higher power. I really think it's ingenious that we are allowed in AA to have our own conception of God that is so well thought of and so well done, because I would have run out if it had been the God of the institutional religion that I grew up with. And so I was thinking, I listen a lot to other people, and for me today God is in three areas that I pray to, and one is somewhere out there. It's undefined, it's just some higher power bigger than me. It could be the universe, it could be a light, and I just pray to it without really knowing what it's like. I once heard in a meeting, if you know what it's like, it's probably not God. And the second part where I try to find God is in my heart. I told you before that I grew up rather rational, you know, doing one thing after the other and being a good boy. And so I'm an extremely head person. But I know at the same time that there is a heart and that I have a heart, but I have to kind of wake it up. I also have to find the language for it, for feelings. So the second place I think my higher power lives in is in my heart. And but I need it more specific. So for me, translating that would mean that I'm trying to be a good person. So when I do the step 3 prayer, I always add, out of the Big Book, please relieve me of selfishness, of dishonesty, of resentments, and of fear. Because these are the 4 things I still fight with. And as I learned earlier in auto-suggestion seminars, it helps when you do it positively, you know. So the opposite of these 4, as we all know, then I pray for love, you know, as an opposite of egoism, for love for others, which doesn't always come easy. Like, compassion is not the first thing that comes to my mind. First thing that comes to my mind is rather me, you know. So I really have to work on that. I really have to pray for that. And I don't necessarily think that I come first because I'm a bad person. It's also because of fear. You know, when you're a fearful person, you always kind of first think, "Ooh, what do I have to do to protect myself?" So love, meaning love for others, love for myself, love for my higher power. So I even pray to my higher power that I'm able to love my higher power. Then honesty. I catch myself almost every day with just little dishonesties, you know. And they are not good for me and my soul. And if I do these things, the danger is big that I go back and have to drink. Forgiveness, also not easy. So I pray for forgiveness to work against resentment. And then hope and fear. Hope and faith. Hope and faith to work against fear. And it's really amazing. Praying these things work. It really works. Lately, hope and faith has become more important for me. I tell you, when I come back to my entrance, when I was asked to speak here, this was a bigger worry than most of my business projects I have at the moment. I kept thinking all the time, end of January, Ostende, what will you say? What do you have to say? Will you be ashamed of yourself? There's people who can say much more than that. And against that helps the prayer of hope and faith. So I really love that. And you know, even if there's no higher power up there, I keep praying, because if there isn't, it still works. Because I remind myself of it. You know, praying for me has the function of reminding myself, because I keep forgetting. My auto mode is to become egoistic, fearful, resentful, you know, and a little bit dishonest. So praying is also very important, just for reminding me of what I would like to be, because I really would like to be a good person, because being a good person gives me peace, you know, and that's really what I'm looking for. That's what I was looking for when I was drinking. Drinking, I thought, brings me peace, but it didn't work. AA brings peace, and the spirituality of this program brings peace. So I finish by saying that AA helped me a lot to, first of all, learn that I'm an alcoholic and that it's okay. You know, that this is an illness and it's not a lack of willpower, or even worse, a lack of character. It's an illness, and I'm extremely thankful that I was able to learn that. AA also helped me to accept that and not fight it, because if I fight it, I have to go back and drink. Accept it. But AA also, that's the do it part, taught me to do things, to do service, to go to meetings, to have a sponsor, to have sponsees, to do the step, to read literature, to be in the information team in Switzerland. And when I'm asked to speak in a convention with more than 30 people sitting there, to say yes and do it. So thank you very much for letting me share.